You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto. We are glad you're joining us this fine day. I'm sitting in the studio back in Vancouver with Art Factor. How are you doing, Art?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Toronto was good to you?
Toronto was good to me. My head is spinning. It's been a busy couple of weeks in the tech world. It's been really busy. Obviously, the launch of BlackBerry last week, and this week Microsoft has been coming through showing their new online version of Office, Office 365, which I was taking a good solid look at today. Haven't quite digested it all, not quite ready to talk about it too much, still kind of figuring it all out.
I won't ask.
It's good. It's looking good. So how was it here last week with me not here? Were you guys like partying and drinking?
Oh yeah, Demera is crazy. He brought in a portable LP player and he brought some LPs and we just hung out.
Yeah.
We had Lava Lamp.
Jackson 5 music.
Oh, it was great.
Good stuff. Well, I'm glad. It was strange sitting in a hotel room doing the show.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, you just there's something to be said about when you're in the studio, you're in the zone, you're in the cockpit of the show.
And you can see, you know, just making eye contact with you and having you roll your eyes at me. I appreciate that a lot.
You couldn't hear that over the phone when you were in Toronto?
I sensed it occasionally. So now you didn't get you've had a little bit of time to digest. So everybody knows, today's show, because it is such profound news as far as Canada's concerned, we're gonna go back to BlackBerry. We're going to talk BlackBerry for a good part of today. I've got Andy Walker joining us from Toronto. We have Gillian Shaw joining us to talk to us about it. So we're going to be covering the BlackBerry an awful lot.
It's Canadian.
It's Canadian, and it's got some momentum. People are kind of excited.
And I think you need another show to keep reminding yourself that it's BlackBerry, not RIM anymore.
I'm going to make that mistake all the time. I don't like the name change, frankly. I don't like when the name of the company is the same as the name of the product. I get why they did that.
Yeah, it'd be like Civic or Honda changing their name from Honda to Civic.
Civic.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, they are so, yeah. I'm sure there's a good philosophical reason and a good new age reason and a good mojo reason or something, but I liked RIM. I liked Research in Motion. I thought it was a good name, and it was easy, and it was just a few letters. Now, all those guys who have email addresses like steve.dotto@rim.com are now RIM at BlackBerry, so they have to type in that many more letters every time they enter their email address for anything.
That's a first world problem.
It is one of those first world problems, isn't it? So now, what's your take on it? Because we're going to be hearing everybody else's take on the BlackBerry for the rest of the day. What's your take?
Well, you haven't given me a chance to play with it, but I still believe that, and I've read some stories over the week that people are talking. It's not that they've overtaken, in my opinion, or at least what I've read. I've never touched one. I've never played with one yet. It's not that they've overtaken the iPhone or at least the iPhone 5. They've merely caught up to it. So at least from a business point and a business standpoint, the people who are diehard BlackBerry fans, which I still have people who in my network of friends who are not going to leave for iPhone, will continue on at least with BlackBerry. They're not going to leave. But the BlackBerry fans who have always been interested in waiting for their contract to run out to go to iPhone might not necessarily do that anymore.
Here's the thing about having used it for over the weekend, like 4 or 5 days now of having the BlackBerry in my hand. When I went back to my iPhone, it feels a little bit clunky.
Clunky.
A little bit.
Hmm.
But now, it could be because I have the biggest case on the planet on my iPhone and no case on my BlackBerry. But I'm talking the operating system more than the device itself. It just, the having true multitasking, having all my apps running at the same time and being able to switch back and forth seamlessly between the different open apps, as opposed to the Apple world where, you know, you hit the home button twice and then select the next app and then go into that and you just can't kind of swipe back and forth and move effortlessly from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, a little clunky.
I just, when I jumped from my flip phone to the iPhone.
Your feature phone to the iPhone?
Yeah, it was.
There was a slight step ahead.
But I think, I was cooking with gas as opposed to with sticks. No, but, and I could see, that it was an easy jump for me to go from flip phone to an iPhone. But now that the world or a good portion of the world is iPhone, will they look at this new BlackBerry and go, okay, well, my 3S, like I said, my 3G or my 3S is up. Am I going to switch over to BlackBerry?
And that's going to be partially what we talked about last week, which is this issue of iPhone fatigue real or not? Are people kind of getting tired of being told what to do by Apple? And are they tired of the closed system? I got to tell you, it was a breath of fresh air being able to pop the back of a phone open and be able to replace the battery if I wanted to. It's a breath of fresh air being able to pop the back of the phone open and be able to pop in some more memory if I need some more storage. Those are good things. It was a breath of fresh air being able to plug my phone into my computer and be able to see the file system of the phone on my computer so I could manage the files directly. Those things are not to be taken lightly.
Well, that's what BlackBerry needs to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and God bless them. I think they're afraid to sell those things. They haven't talked about them as much because they had those before, I guess, and it wasn't a big selling point. But now they've got them in a package that's appealing, and I know they're going to be selling the BlackBerry Flow and the BlackBerry Balance and the sex appeal of them and the multifunction and all that sort of stuff. And they should be. But it's some of those little things that make a difference. You know, I feel like I'm more in control. And that's just after having, you know, spent only 4 or 5 days with the device. We've got some good things for people to do. First is we do want to hear your opinion on it. We've still got a great poll going on the website to ask your opinion on the BlackBerry. So drop by the website and let me know your opinion on the BlackBerry. But there's another reason to drop by the website because we've got another giveaway.
Ooh.
Yeah. And another one that Art.
I'm listening.
You can't. We're going to be giving away the 500 and 350 sling box, one of each. Oh. So the high end 500, which I've set up now at home. You have a sling box set up.
Yeah, I was wondering maybe we could switch off.
You have a steam powered one.
I've got like the sling box two.
Okay. Yeah, this is more good. So we've got the 500, which is their state-of-the-art top end one that has HDMI in and out. We're going to be talking next week. We're going to talk to Greg Bose about it. And we also have the 350, which is a great slingbox as well.
You sure we can't just put my old slingbox?
No, you can't put your old slingbox. You can put your old slingbox in to the draw, but it's got to be a separate draw, and we'll see how many people register. Do you want me to put one in?
No, I'm good.
Art's
I'm
old
good.
Slingbox?
Never mind. That's fine.
we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, Andy Walker is going to be joining us.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Last week I was back in Toronto and I saw, ran into Andy Walker. Now, Andy has never been on the show before, so thanks for coming on, Andy.
Oh, pleasure to be here. It's awesome to be here.
Now, Andy has been, I've followed his career for a long time. He had a wonderful web show called Lab Rats, which was really similar in a lot of ways to the stuff that we did on Dottotech. But before that, many of our listeners will recognize Andy from Call for Help, which was, how many years did you guys run?
Oh, I think probably the show was on here. I mean, that show has been around for like 15 years, but
yeah.
the Canadian version of it ran for about 3.5, 4 years.
Yeah, 3.5, 4 years. That was in the heyday of Canadian tech television. There was actually 3 or 4 shows produced back in the day, and we were all minor celebrities at the time.
That's exactly. I like to think that I was a D-list celebrity at that point.
B-list. I always call myself that, B-list. And so, but now we were all gathered in Toronto for the big BlackBerry launch, and that's where I bumped into you. Now you've had a few days. Of course, they sent us all away with our little BlackBerries. What do you think?
I am really impressed with them. You know, they delivered on what they promised, which was sort of a device that was going to be comparable to go toe-to-toe with the iPhone and with the, you know, Android handsets. I think that, you know, they have, you know, again, the risk there, of course, was that they were going to go down the toilet. If they didn't hit something here, you know, RIM, a.k.a. now branded BlackBerry as a company, was done. So what they produced is a device that's very clever, will have high appeal to both IT people and to generic users, you know, home users of smartphones. It gives BlackBerry a brand new life.
And they did take their chances. Now, were you as impressed with that in their courage of their convictions, the fact that they were willing to actually do live demos with the product, which is almost nobody ever does in these sorts of launches?
Well, yeah, exactly. So it showed that they had really had done their homework, that the device was rock solid, and that it was ready to go. Incidentally, in the room next door, they were demonstrating the think it was the keyboard version of their new phone, and they wouldn't let anybody touch it.
So. Okay, I didn't actually see that. There was a lot of stuff going on. I would have liked to have seen the keyboard version. Actually, I'm glad that they didn't give us a choice of which one to choose. You know, because they were passing them out, because I don't know which one I would have chosen.
It would have been tough, you know, because you've got to think that new keyboard enabled, you know, device is going to be the best keyboard enabled smartphone on the planet, for sure.
Yeah, and now I've been following the feedback in the news in Canada and the news in the States on the BlackBerry launch, and quite a bit of difference in the media. Down there, they're kind of going, oh, it's a stay of execution for RIM. They're still going to have to perform. Up here, we're saying, oh no, RIM's back. This is such a cool product. So do you think that they're just a little upset that they're not going to get it for a couple of weeks?
I think, yeah, it's a classic. We don't have our hands on it yet. We can't comment, kind of thing. I mean, I think we were all saying that here in Canada before the launch. You know, if they produce, it's going to be a stay of execution. You know, it's that jaded show us before we actually jump in. Now, obviously, in the U.S., they've had a chance to sniff at it from what we've seen. But nobody's got their hands on it yet, and so I think the hype machine hasn't kicked in. But the reality is, you know, let's look at eBay right now, where, you know, brand new devices are being sold by those that have their hands on them for $1,700. So, you know, that's a really good indicator that people want this device, that they're impressed, and when they do get their hands on it in the U.S. in March, I think we're going to see a similar reaction to what we've had up here, potentially bigger, who knows.
$1,700? I didn't know that.
Yeah, $1,700. You go on eBay and you look up, it's probably all of the journalists that were there that day probably selling their devices, but yeah, they're selling for $1,700.
All but you and me.
Exactly.
I missed the boat on that one. Now let's talk a little bit about the operating system itself, because I've had, you know, it was an interesting phenomenon. I don't know if you experienced it, but kind of walking around, you'd show it to people, and the excitement level of individuals was I thought profound. I had a few meetings before I left Toronto, and I had it in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and people went, oh, they got so excited. And even on the airplane on the way home, I was still fiddling around with it on the plane, and I was turning it into, you know, I was looking for airplane mode, and people on either side of me, because I got a middle seat, went, you know, they were just all over me, and they were wanting to touch it, and when they picked it up, all of a sudden people across the aisle were wanting to look at it. It had a lot of, there's a lot of pent-up anticipation by the marketplace.
100%. Yeah, I had a very similar experience, and I walked to Starbucks and pulled that out of my pocket, and the barista behind the counter said, oh, can I touch it? And, wow, that's really cool. You know, and that happened to me several times as well. I think that just, you know, it's shiny and new. It's BlackBerry. There's lots of, you know, naysayers on the marketplace. Everybody wants to get their hands on it. And the early press has been really, really good. So I think the anticipation's there. I think, it shows up beautifully. You know, you pull it out of your pocket, and it sort of, it can almost glows, and everybody's like, whoa, you know, that kind of idea.
And that interface, that the peak and flow of sliding your finger up to the center, gathering the windows together, sliding it back, that doesn't take too long to become second nature.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I fiddled with it, you know, initially, and had a bit of trouble. But once you get the knack of it and you understand what, you know, it becomes second nature, it is actually a very, very fast way to move through the interface. I was really kind of blown away by that.
So I used it for the weekend, and then when I picked up my iPad the next time, I actually tried to do that move.
Oh, you did? Oh, so you programmed yourself. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me. Now, I've had people comment, you know, some of the people have commented saying that they didn't think that RIM, or BlackBerry now, has done enough to differentiate it, that it's kind of a me too device. Do you get the sense that they did enough with the operating system to really define themselves clearly as we're different than Android and iOS? Or do you think that just the nature of the handheld device means that they're all really similar?
I think it was a kind of a smart move, to tell you the truth, because I really think that they needed to demonstrate that they were as good as, right? So that was the job number one. If they hadn't quite hit the bar of the iPhone or an Android device, then, you know, then people would have said, okay, well, they missed the mark. So actually, the fact that it's very similar means that there's not a huge learning curve if you're going to flip back to the BlackBerry. So strategically, that was a smart move. Now, the fact that there's no buttons on the device, it's all gesture-based, is a differentiator that says, no, this is what's possible. Maybe we've been waiting for that from Apple for a while. Like, you know, when's Apple going to come out with the buttonless device? Now there's a pressure on for them to do that.
Yeah.
So they stepped ahead a little bit. They did some, you know, some really nice pieces in the system itself. You know, the balance situation where, you know, you can have your IT, your work side or your home side flipped on and toggle back and forth between those two settings. I honestly think there's enough that it says, wow, this is cool and better in some cases in those devices. But it is one of those devices. It is a smartphone of this current generation, and it'll have people, you know, actually jump on board, I think.
Okay, last two questions. You walked into the event in Toronto carrying what phone in your pocket?
An iPhone 4S.
Okay, as did I. Now, if I bump into you at a Starbucks in Toronto next week, what's the phone in your pocket?
It'll be my iPhone still.
Why?
Well, first of all, my girlfriend got her hands on it, so
oh.
So she kind of stole that out of my pocket. But honestly, had she not said, "Hey, can I play with it for a week?" I would be carrying, you know, two phones in my pocket, and I would. The first thing I ran into was an app problem, which
yes.
had me go, I got to go back to my iPhone, and it was the fact that there was no TD Bank, you know, app in there that allowed me to do transfers and move stuff around on my account. So that was the first thing where I went, oh, they've missed something here. Now, that said, you know, all those apps are coming. You know, the app ecosystem is going to grow. But I think if you have a favorite thing to do on your device and this device doesn't do it, it's going to have to give you pause.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm in the same boat as you. There's two or three apps that are just kind of unique to my lifestyle that I'm sure will be there very shortly. But aren't there yet, and that's you know, that's just we're so used to having that convenience now.
That's it.
Yeah.
But it'll look very different in 90 days, and especially with those people that love the BlackBerry flipped over another phone and was not quite satisfied, will flip back. I think there's enough sexiness there that some people go, yeah, what? You know, I don't need all that stuff, or they don't use the app ecosystem as much, or whatever.
And the other thing that bodes well for BlackBerry as we look ahead to the next couple of months is. This phone will be flowing out worldwide over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So there'll be lots of positive news from that perspective as carriers carry them and, as you know, as people start getting them in their hands, providing that there aren't any huge issues like they suddenly catch fire or something, which would, of course, be a disaster. But then almost as soon as that peak is kind of going to start to die down, then they're going to be following us with the Q10 device, which is the keyboard-enabled device, which is going to, I think, bring a whole different flood. I think the Q10 is going to... I don't think a lot of people that have an existing BlackBerry are necessarily going to jump over right away to the Z10, but the ones that are on the bolds and stuff right now that love the keyboard, there'll be a huge influx back into the Q10.
Yeah, absolutely. That keyboard is going to be, you know, irresistible, I think. And then that's nice because then it gets them used to the ecosystem of the new apps. Mm-hmm. It has a new user base. They get to play with a new interface, and then, you know, they could be a convert to, you know, the non-keyboard version in the future.
And you start thinking about the story, and you go, okay, the people buying the Q10. What about the, you know, we haven't talked at all about the playbook in this whole scenario, which will be running the new BlackBerry 10 operating system. Suddenly, the playbook combination with the Q10 looks like a pretty nice combination to be carrying around as you're doing your day-to-day business.
100%, yeah, exactly. And then beyond that, I think I heard that there's going to be about 7 or 8 devices that will have the new operating system on it. So we've got a whole family of devices coming that will suit every need.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll switch the channels from BlackBerry because there's lots of other tech news that we should be talking about. I have Andy Walker on the phone. He is your website. Oh, help me out with the website, Andy.
CyberWalkerMedia.com.
CyberWalkerMedia.com. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe
you. Do
you
have a comment or a question for Dotto Tech?
Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
On the line with me from Toronto-based technology journalist in all things tech, former host of Lab Rats Online and Call for Help on television, Andy Walker. And we've just been chatting about the BlackBerry. But there's also big news this week in the tech world that really took me by surprise. And this is Dell deciding to go private. And my head's spinning on that one. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, it's a pretty astounding move by them. But I think it allows them to retrench and rethink their future, because the reality is that with public ownership, you are unfortunately responding based on the market, as opposed to, you know, you'll be making business decisions based on your shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're going private, you can actually re-vector. And the reality is, Dell's got to rethink their business because they're about to go out of business if they don't think about what they do for, you know, for a living.
Well, if we look at the the roadmap for the last few years for Dell, they went from the number two. They've only slipped one place as far as PC manufacturers. HP's been number one for quite some time. Dell was number two for a long time, but now they've been supplanted, surprisingly, by Lenovo. In at least to me, in number two. So they've slipped, but I think that they've also seen the eroding margins. And as you say, you know, they can't really plan strategically months, you know, when they have to perform quarter by quarter for the shareholders. So going private is one interesting, is certainly a unique and interesting way to approach it. And this isn't a done deal, by the way. There's 45 days for somebody else to step in and offer the shareholders a better deal. So it could all go sideways as far as Michael Dell's plans. But the investors, the one big investor that surprised me in the whole deal, didn't surprise me, that tells us a whole different story, is Microsoft stepping in and putting $2 billion of the buyout in.
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, you know, Microsoft has a vested interest in Dell. I mean, they're one of their biggest partners, right?
Yeah.
So you do not want your partner to do something that doesn't fit with your future. So it doesn't surprise me at all. And the reality, too, is, I mean, Microsoft's in a very similar situation where they're very desktop-centric. All their revenues come out of that. So they're going to hitch their wagon as close as possible to Dell to see if they can, you know, because where Dell goes, Microsoft will go, too.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Microsoft versions of the Surface, of the tablets, and how any closer relationship with Dell might look. Because one thing Dell's always done a good job is they've done a good job in manufacturing. They build pretty good product. So, they've certainly got that side of it down, and Microsoft doesn't have the experience in that area. That's so right. So
we could actually see a consolidation of some sort. I mean, would not be surprised if Microsoft took on a more of a hardware manufacturing type of role. You know, so a close alliance would be a first step towards that. But, you know, Apple's done really well with integrating software to hardware. You know, Samsung not so much in the sense that they're using the Google technology, but the reality is integrated devices will allow you to innovate. And so I can completely see that is a logical move. Whether we'll see a Dell-Microsoft combination in the future is still to be seen. But if you're going to innovate, absolutely having controls over all different pieces of the puzzle are going to, you know, help you in your business development.
Now, you mentioned Apple. It's not a great month for Apple. The year hasn't started out wonderfully. They announced wonderful earnings, and their stock promptly fell to the lowest it's been in quite some time. And despite the fact that they're selling oodles and oodles of iPhones, do you sense that there is a certain amount of, for lack of a better term, iPhone fatigue out there, that the marketplace is getting a little bit tired of the Apple story?
Well, absolutely, because we did not see a big innovation in terms of the iPhone 5. The iPhone 5 was skinnier and longer and had a couple of, you know, faster processors, but really it was an iteration on what had come before, no great leap. And one has to suspect that perhaps with Steve Jobs now gone, that his hardcore guidance and his bullying personality that actually got some results is, you know, that absence is starting to be felt in the product line already. The question is, you know, what's going to happen next for Apple? And there's not a big product lineup that we're aware of this year. Now, of course, there's lots of rumors and that sort of thing. Their next logical step is going to be moving into sort of developing Apple-style television that's been in the pipe for many, many mm-hmm. years. But in terms of the smartphone business, I mean, it's becoming very commoditized. What else can you do with your smartphone? I mean, I don't know. Can you think of a feature that everybody wants that's not there yet? I mean, it's...
The purchasing option. The fact that they eschewed near-field communication surprised me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, sort of the virtual wallet and sort of, you know, proximity type of data swap absolutely makes a lot of sense. But, you know, but okay, so we've seen that sort of on the books for a while, and, you know, some of the devices already have that. You know, it's not going to be a big surprise when that comes out in an Apple device.
Yeah, so but what revolutionary can they do? You know, they're locked in with their operating system strategy. You know, they've got a path, and they will continue to improve iOS. But in, you know, a little bit better integration, they're doing a little bit more with the cloud. I tell you, they could certainly step up to the game a lot more effectively with their cloud-based services.
Completely, yeah. And I think that's the direction they're going to go. They're going to move into services, heavy duty. And, you know, Steve, the reality of the marketplace is going to be within 5 years, the idea of a laptop is going to be completely obsolete. this little device in our pocket we call an iPhone right now, or you know, whichever brand it happens to be, is going to become a, you know, an access to our cloud-based services. And when we plug it in front of a big monitor at home, it's going to become our laptop with our keyboard, you know, assuming that, you know, keyboards are even in vogue at that point. But
that was a message that RIM was making over and over again in their launch, weren't they, that this is not a phone anymore. This is our computer.
This is our computer, yeah. I mean, you know, and then we saw the Mac OS, the iMac sort of ecosystem is starting to come to a close as well. You know, that the iOS will be the operating system moving forward on all devices Apple make. We've seen sort of a move in the line, mountain line, to sort of move towards an iOS kind of interface and some features like that. The App Store popped up. So, you know, we really do, the end of the era of that keyboard-based computer is starting to come to a close, and you know, Apple is going, if now Apple can step up and lead in that direction, you know, obviously their leadership will be highly visible. But maybe someone like BlackBerry or the, you know, the Android ecosystem is gonna lead the way there. You know, who knows?
Well, I think it's going to be healthy having the third party stepping in, which has, you know, and BlackBerry does have, you know, I hate keep looping back to it, but they certainly are dominating our cycles today. They, you know, we have two companies which control both hardware and software, in Apple and BlackBerry, and then we have the open interface, the kind of the Wild West, that is represented by the Android and the Google area. And I keep wondering, and it just keeps just niggling in the back of my mind, that we might see BlackBerry start to license their OS to others.
I wouldn't be surprised if there is not a direct conversation with Dell right now.
Yes, that's one that I was thinking of exactly, which was the private one, and seeing Microsoft step in there with their commitment to Windows Phone. I'm going to wonder if that's a fly in that ointment. But RIM is in it, or RIM. I really wish they'd kept the name. It's so much easier to define between RIM and the device. But BlackBerry, the company formerly known as RIM, I think that they're in an interesting strategic position, because if they do decide to license, they can have a lot more control than that which is being exhibited by the Google and Android world, which is all about being open source. And BlackBerry has never said we're open source, so they can probably set a lot better standards in. And again, the happy medium might be struck between closed ecosystem like Apple's and the wild open system of Android.
That's absolutely true. You know, we saw a lot of you know, rumors and conjecture around Lenovo possibly being an acquirer of BlackBerry.
Yes.
before the big day the other week. And I don't think that, you know, rumors don't come from out of nowhere. Rumors come out of some basis on fact. So I know for a fact that there was, you know, several suitors floating around the BlackBerry corporate offices looking at a potential acquisition in the last year, and I can tell you that Lenovo would have been somebody at that table. Now, I think what's happened is there's a big licensing deal that's about to be announced in the next 6 months or so, and Lenovo is probably going to be one of the lead. They do not have a big footprint in North America with smartphones. They have a four-screen strategy, though. They have, you know, they have a tablet, they have smartphones in China, they have televisions, and they have laptops. So, but they are not fully present in North America in a big way in smartphones, and of course that's a logical place for them to go. So acquiring a license for the BlackBerry operating system, highly, highly likely, I'd say.
Yeah, fascinating. Now, the last company that we should touch base on is the one that has kind of developed into one of the real powerhouses, and that is Samsung. They are in everything. But they just basically... Are they just doing a better job of manufacturing right now than everybody else?
I just think that they're innovating beautifully in the hardware front. I mean, they have this amazingly flexible operating system called Android that they can drop in their device. And I just think that they're winning people over in the form factor. I mean, you want a small phone? They've got one. You want a big phone, a sort of mini tablet? They've got one. You know, they have every size screen, every kind of format. They've played with every single permutation and iteration. And people are buying those devices because they're beautiful and because they're functional and because they do the best job of presenting Android.
Now, will Samsung be able to maintain this kind of edge? Because they are the ones with the most direct competition, because they don't really have anything proprietary. All their proprietary stuff is dependent on other people's systems, at least, you know, in the big picture area. So how do they maintain that edge?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I mean, we know that they're really good at doing from an engineering perspective and integrating. They're really good at seeing other people's designs and adapting them and making them better. But maybe that's all that is necessary. I don't see Samsung coming out with anything that's going to blow the market away from a leadership perspective, I think they're going to be the next Dell, frankly, you know, in terms of how Dell, you know, found a way to manufacture things cheaply and offer every single permutation under the sun. Samsung has become that for the marketplace that is mobile phones. And certainly they'll do that with tablets and beyond. So, I mean, I think that, you know, I don't see any super brilliance out of them, but what I do see is that they're giving the market what they want, where they can't get it anywhere else.
Well, it's certainly been a fascinating week in the world of, a couple of weeks in the world of hardware, with all the announcements and the privatization of, or the attempted privatization of Dell. It bodes for an interesting couple of months as we look ahead.
It's going to be a fascinating 2013. Actually, I'm you know, for the first time, I'm kind of excited about tech again.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. Well, then we'll have to have you back on soon, Andy.
Love to be back, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Okay, this is Andy Walker. You can find him at cyberwalker.ca.
Cyberwalkermedia.com.
Cyberwalkermedia.com. I was so close. So close. Andy, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now from Saskatchewan, as he often does, Julian Saunders from London Drugs. How are you doing this week, Julian?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing pretty well. It was a good busy week last week going back to for the lodge to the BlackBerry. Thanks so much by the way for organizing your schedule around that crazy time. Let's talk this week about online security. There's a Canadian company that has a pretty cool product out. Tell me about it.
It's the Surf Easy USB key. So it's a little USB memory stick that contains a web browser. And the guys in Toronto have it set up pretty uniquely. There isn't many products out there that are able to make your web browsing completely secure. It's for people that are concerned with privacy but don't want to have to fiddle with settings inside a network, or maybe you switch computers. It can make your web browsing completely private and secure from any computer.
So it's just a, so is it, it's it, when you plug it in, it's a, just a, an app that launches. You navigate onto the key, find the browser, and launch it.
That's right. Yeah, it's got a password step first, and then you're in your own private web browser, and it has a server that it accesses securely. It uses SSL encryption, which is nerd speak for very strong safety. So it encrypts the data that's going from your computer out to the internet. And it also protects you by anonymizing your location. So your IP information isn't only scrubbed. The websites that you're accessing don't know where you are, because it can make you look like you're browsing from one of four countries.
Oh, so is that user selectable?
It is, yeah. Oh. It is. It defaults to Surf Easy Optimized. But it can make you look like you're in the United States, United Kingdom, Singapore, or Brazil inside of that web browser. So it also can help if you're behind a firewall of some kind, or maybe geo-restricted content.
Mm, yeah, so the number one use for something like this would obviously be for a traveler who's going to be using public access computers, and they still have to do some online banking or stuff like that. So they're going to be concerned about privacy and security there, so it's got an obvious use in those areas. But when you're saying that it anonymizes where you're from, then it could also be used for doing things like logging onto websites where they say no, you're in Canada. For instance, some of the entertainment websites, if you want to watch a TV show online, they say no, you can't watch it because you're in Canada. This will allow you to say, well, actually, I'm in the States.
Exactly. Yeah, and it'll allow you to do the United Kingdom as well. So. There's a couple of popular ones that I tested, like HBO and Showtime, and buffering was fine. Looking at it on a computer was very smooth. It didn't slow it down.
Would that work for your Netflix subscription?
It did. It thought I was in the United States, but when I was looking at some of the high-def stuff, it seemed to take a while to load. But otherwise, once it was loaded, it seemed to be smooth through the web browser.
That could also be the web browser itself. It might not be as optimized as some of the big boys' web browsers.
And it'll change based on time of day, too, because it's sometimes the server gets busy. It's a modified version of Firefox, so it's actually quite fast to update.
Okay.
And the plugins all come from your computer that you're on. So if you're worried about, Java security or anything, the key actually checks to make sure it's not sending out information that it shouldn't. So it's another step in there that could cause a little bit of a slowdown when you're doing something big like high-def video. But if you're just doing web browsing and using it for security, it's very fast.
And now, how much does it cost?
$69.99, and there's no annual subscription.
Now, it is a USB key. Do you have additional storage on it if you want to carry around some documents?
There is a little bit. It lives outside of the encrypted part of the container, but there is a small amount there. What you can do, though, is use cloud storage like Dropbox or SkyDrive and encrypt the files that you're accessing. I tried a trick through using encryption software, and it accessed it perfectly smooth.
Okay.
So if you're worried about file security on that side, good cloud storage plus some using TrueCrypt portable would be what I would suggest for that.
Now, you're saying it's a Canadian company, fairly new on the market. I hadn't heard of them before.
I believe they've only been out for about a year. But yeah, they're new out of Toronto. Their servers are in the U.S., and they have a fairly strong agreement with a few big internet service companies.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps make sure that your web browsing is anonymous. Because one of the ways you can be tracked online is either at your router. The router can record every website that's being accessed through it or through your internet service provider. So what these guys have done, they've made a secure tunnel, and all your router and your internet service provider see are basically a tube, and they don't know what's inside of it anymore. It just sees it as an encrypted tube that's being used to access the internet, but it has no idea what sites. So you're completely anonymous.
So a great additional level of security called SurfEasy, a USB key that can protect your anonymity wherever you are, if you're at home or if you're on the road. Thanks so much, Julian.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too.
Last week when I was in Toronto doing the show from Toronto, I wanted to get Jillian Shaw on the show to hear her thoughts on BlackBerry because she has been covering the phone world since the days of rotary telephones. Jillian, how are you doing?
Well, I actually have an older phone I could be talking to you on, Steve. I have one of those phones that sitting in my front hall that you used to have to crank to get a call.
Kids don't know when you do that anymore. What are you doing, Dad, when you do the little rotary dial thing? They have no idea. They have no idea. And so now you watched the BlackBerry announcements from Vancouver. Did you watch it streaming online?
I did. I was with the folks from London Drugs, so I was getting the color commentary
from
all the experts there.
Cedric is a huge fan of the BlackBerry, so you couldn't say any. You couldn't naysay around him.
No, and I tell you, it's going. He said he's not going to carry two phones because one of the great things about this new BlackBerry, and actually, I do carry two phones, Steve. I carry an iPhone and I carry my wood-burning BlackBerry, which I have come to hate. I have to say.
Why?
Based on my BlackBerry, I wouldn't have given Rim any more time in this world.
Well, let's back up the bus for a second and discuss why would you hate your old BlackBerry? Is it a torch? What is it?
Well, first of all, it's 100 years old, and it's so old, I think it's a Curve or something. Steve.
Okay, Curve, that was a good phone.
I'm not a fan of the physical keyboard, but I do know that there are a whole lot of BlackBerry loyalists who are waiting for the physical keyboard version of the BlackBerry, the Q7, to land on store shelves, which mm-hmm. is apparently going to do in 5 or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You can pre-order already at Rogers, so... There you go. That's your insider's tip. Well,
so
it's not
you carry
insiders, it's on their website.
Hmm? You carry the BlackBerry because work insists on it?
I'm talking on a BlackBerry, Steve. I couldn't hear you.
You carry the BlackBerry because work insists you carry it?
Exactly. And I, like a lot of people, my work, at my work environment, for a long time, our security department didn't trust anything but BlackBerry. So iPhones they looked at with great suspicion. Android phones, they, you know, was as far as they were concerned, that was the work of the security devil. So we, if we wanted to have a mobile phone for work, it was a choice of BlackBerry or BlackBerry. But like a lot of other companies, our company security folks kind of bent a little, and now there are actually some iPhones. We can use iPhones as well as BlackBerries. And that was, that sort of thing is really bad news for the company, for because BlackBerry, of course, its core users were all business users.
Yeah.
Now the question is, will this new BlackBerry 10 operating system and the new phones, will it bring back people who already made that conversion over to an iPhone, both that, for work and for home?
And I know there's a lot of nostalgia as people are waiting for it. So let's roll back a bit to the event itself. Now, watching it online, was it well presented online? Did they do a good job of reaching out to the rest of the world with the rollout?
You know, it was no Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
But it was pretty comprehensive. It had its kind of funny moments, and it's a Canadian company, Steve. You know, we got to root for them.
Oh, I have been for sure. And of course, being in Toronto, that was like a, I could have done without the front three rows of four rows of BlackBerry employees leaping up every time the cameras came onto the Toronto room and cheering. And the Alicia Keys thing just left me cold.
That was a little, what do they say, awkward moment.
Awkward, not as awkward as listening to her sing the national anthem during the football game on Sunday. Because it was like people got actually in some you know, milk could turn bad with how long it took her to sing that song. You know, the pizza got cold. But at any rate, so of the features that BlackBerry rolled out, is the BlackBerry Balance, which is the feature that allows you to have your personal life in one side and your business life in the other side, is that the one that resonated the most with you then?
You know, so far in terms of features and things that the iPhone doesn't do, that is kind of a, that I think that's a big deal right off the bat, because for people who would carry a personal phone and a work phone, to keep them separate. And also because, of course, if you're carrying your work phone and you leave it in a taxi or it gets stolen, likely your IT guys are going to wipe it clean. And there goes, so all your baby photos, the new puppy pictures, anything, you know, all your, say, personal social media accounts, everything was on, of course, your personal, your phone, because you were using it for personal and business use.
Yes.
With the new BlackBerry, you can actually separate, you know, you have the two modes. So it's not only the two modes, but, and I know this because London Drugs is doing this, you can wipe clean the business side without touching the personal side. So your IT department can have total control over the business side. So if, you know, whatever apps they want you to have or not have, or, you know, if they want to update it or change it or wipe it clean if your phone gets stolen, they can do that, but you have control over your personal side. I think that's a big plus.
Well, and it should allow a lot of people to not be carrying the two devices anymore. You know, I often take public transit into the city, and if I take it in early in the morning, you know, everybody's face is lit by the glow of a screen, and very few of those screens on the bus were on BlackBerries. They all had, most of those people actually had BlackBerries in their pockets, but they were on their iPhones or they were on their Samsung Notes. They were on something that was a little more media friendly.
Well, exactly. I mean, my BlackBerry, I don't remember when I last tried to call up a web page on it.
Oh, brutal. It's brutal on the curve, you know.
It's,
and
it is the
completely
word for it.
So now have you got your hands on the Z10 yet?
As we speak, I have it in my hand here.
Oh, okay. So how long have you had it for?
Only got it yesterday.
Okay, so you've been playing. Now, what's your initial reaction to learning the new operating system and playing with the OS?
Well, you know, I think it's fine. The swipe, you see, one of the things I do when I get anything new, because I'm not of the read the manual type, is I see how easy it is to just, you know, get it working without knowing anything really about it. And then I hand it off to my real technadult friends and see what they can do. And that, well, that, so that was kind of my first test. I turned on the new BlackBerry and thought, can I find my way around without actually studying the swipe motions? Because of course that's how it doesn't even have the home screen that
yes.
I'm really yeah. used to using on the. So no matter where I am on my iPhone, and if I'm lost myself in what I'm doing, I just hit the home screen and I know where I am.
The button in your back, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, with the BlackBerry, of course, it's all about the swipe. They don't even have that home button.
There is no buttons.
But once you get, I think that you can get used to it, and if you actually go to the trouble of learning it, it's even better. But what I found is just by playing around with it, I could navigate around the phone pretty quickly. And then I put it down on the desk beside one of my colleagues, Harvey Enchin, who writes editorials in our paper and not a lot about technology. And Harvey asked me how do you get this going? And I said, just swipe your finger across it. And sure enough, he got it working. He was really impressed.
Good. Because the learning curve has to be reasonable or people will reject it. And I found it pretty straightforward. I found that the swipe and peek and all of those sorts of things have become became second nature to me almost right away. What about looking at the BlackBerry store? The one area that I haven't been that impressed with is the BlackBerry store. I don't think it's as intuitive, and it seems a little bit confusing as you navigate your way through it. And I've been having trouble finding, even apps that I know are there, sometimes I've had trouble finding them.
Well, you know, it doesn't have Netflix. Steve.
Yeah, there's a few. Is that a big deal for you?
Well, no, not on a phone, actually, although I do watch Netflix sometimes on my iPad, which is really handy if you're mm-hmm. someplace and you're bored. You can, look at old Fawlty Towers reruns and laugh. But, and of course, that's another thing. What is the tablet that goes with this BlackBerry?
Yes.
Well, there isn't one, unless you were maybe prescient enough to buy that Playbook.
Yes.
When it dropped in price to almost nothing,
but
it
was $139 over Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, $149. And the great thing about that, if you actually have a Playbook, is you can upgrade now to the BlackBerry 10 operating system. So
I think that's going to be a very compelling combination of that phone
and
the tablet.
People who bought them for $149, they're probably pretty happy right now.
Yeah, because they could buy their phone for $149 on a plan, yeah. and suddenly they're off to the races. Now, I think the other things that impressed me about it, which was some of the hardware pieces. Now, it's not technically a really super fast phone, 1.4 gigahertz, but I liked how the industrial design, the back pops off really easily, but still feels very secure, easy to get in. So, you know, with a lot of phones, as you go into the battery compartment, you're afraid you're going to break the phone.
I know.
You don't have that with this BlackBerry at all. The back pops off, and it's some weird space-age new polymer that's not plastic and is almost indestructible, I hear.
Yeah, it is. It feels pretty nice. It feels a bit more solid. I would not walk out of the store without a pretty heavy-duty industrial case on the new iPhone. But I feel slightly more comfortable, although, you know, I won't go skiing with it without a cover, I don't think, Steve.
Yeah, well, you crash a lot. Then when you pop the back off, there is just one of my favorite things on the planet, an SD card slot waiting for us to expand the memory of the device. What a great idea.
I know, because, you know, with the iPhone, I remember the first iPhone I bought, I think it was 16 gigs, and of course I filled that up, and then I looked around and thought, if you either can start cleaning things off your iPhone, or hey, you can go buy another entirely new phone to mm-hmm. expand your memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
not a problem that you're going to have with the BlackBerry Z10.
Now, yeah, it's probably too early to ask you how you're experiencing battery life. I haven't done quite as well as the specs would say, but I've been using it pretty hard when I've been using it.
And how long is it lasting for you? It said to last for 10 hours. I haven't given it enough.
I don't believe that it's going to last me 10 hours of hard use. Part of that's LTE. I've never had an LTE phone. It's so fast. The internet connection is so fast. It's beautiful. I was staying in a Toronto hotel, which I won't mention the name of because it would be bad. But it was the Marriott, and they were charging me $16 for internet access in the room, which drove me crazy because it was really slow access. So I figured out on the BlackBerry very quickly how to set it up as a hotspot. And it's a slightly different system than you do with the Mac, with the iPhone. But mm-hmm. I figured it out, and I connected it by Bluetooth as a network device. And oh my goodness, was that LTE ever spanky fast?
Yeah, that's pretty important to me. That's another thing. I use my iPhone as a hotspot.
Yeah.
Couldn't use my wood-burning BlackBerry as a hotspot.
Yeah, but you can use this one, and it works well.
Yeah, and I do like that about this phone. I mean, I think that's just a necessity. Like that's a no-brainer. They've got to have that.
So in 2 weeks from now, we have lunch together, and you whip out your phone to check your schedule. What phone are you whipping out?
Oh, Steve, you're really putting me on the spot because you wouldn't believe what I do now, and I'm a tech writer, Steve. I have my iPhone is my go-to, my iPhone or my iPad, because it syncs so beautifully.
Yep.
And I use Outlook on my work computer, but I just found out by syncing it with my Apple devices, it kind of messed up my calendar. I had, you know, calendar mishaps on a regular basis.
Yes.
And I was always apologizing for missing things. So, you know, I'd like to have one calendar fits all. That's a question. But what you know, the interoperability is said to be better. Like BlackBerry is letting you have that interoperability between operating systems. So that's actually something I've got to try, Steve. Because if I can put our lunch meeting in this new BlackBerry Z10 and have it automatically pop up on my iPad and my iPhone and my Mac computer and my PC computer, I'd be a really happy camper.
Well, yes, you would be, but I think that's expecting a lot.
I don't think so.
Well, it's possible. Now, I think it's going to depend on how you pull it all together. If you start with Google, a Google Calendar, it mm-hmm. might work. Or if you start it on the BlackBerry and you sync your BlackBerry, first of all, through Outlook to your business computer, and then sync that Google Calendar, that Outlook Calendar, to your Google Calendar, which is then synced to your Apple iCal. That's the way it has to go. But see, that's the one of the things that drives me crazy with technology today is these systems are fraught with duplicate entries or not accepted meetings.
Yeah.
That's where we run into challenges. All of these different standards, and part of that's Apple's fault because of the way that their calendaring system works. It's partly Microsoft's fault because they haven't come up with a version of Outlook that really works well on the Mac. Although maybe 2011 it does, but it's still a year behind what we're getting in the Windows world, and so. It's lots of blame to share.
Makes me crazy. I've got a contacts list with about, you know, 10,000 entries in it in my iPhone because it.
So you managed.
It doesn't play well with my Outlook.
You managed to deflect my question. As I was trying to find out if you were going to go with a BlackBerry as your sole phone, but you won't tell me that right now because you don't know.
You're going to have to wait for lunch, Steve.
Okay. So we'll revisit this in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, we will.
I'm going to give it a shot too. I'm going to give it a try too. I've actually had to lend mine out to somebody else to test, another journalist who didn't get one. So I've lent it out for them to try for a couple of days, but I'll get it back in a day or two, and then I'll see if I can migrate over. They really want us to. They really want us to move over. So that's why they gave them to us. Mm-hmm. I guess. Good. Well, listen, Jillian Shaw, of course, all of her work can be seen at the Vancouver Sun, and Jillian does all of the digital life stories at the Sun. So check out her blogs and all of her posts at the Sun, and we'll look forward to reading them, and we'll look forward to hearing what you have to say about the BlackBerry in about 3 weeks. Are you buying lunch?
Looking forward to lunch, Steve.
Are you buying?
Well, I didn't you invite me? We have witnesses here, Steve.
Okay, I'll buy you lunch. I'll buy you lunch. It's Subway, though. It's Subway. I've got a coupon.
Oh, okay. That's Subway it is.
That's Jillian Shaw. Thanks so much for your time, Jillian.
Good talking to you. Bye, Steve.
Well, there you have it, Art. It looks like we have run out of time for today. And that's enough about BlackBerry for the rest of the month, I think. Next week on the show, we're going to talk productivity stuff. We're going to be talking Macworld. We're going to be changing the channel. I'm sure we'll be revisiting the BlackBerry
story. It only took 2 weeks for us to get tired of talking about this.
I'm not really tired of talking about it. It's just I think people want to listen to something else in the world of technology. And we will return. You know, they're going to be coming out with a Q, so we're going to have the keyboard. We're going to be talking about that as soon as it comes out. You're going to be switching again.
We'll see.
So what do we need to drive people to the website for, Art?
We're giving away two sling boxes. They're two high-end. It's like a Porsche and a Ferrari of the sling box world are being given
more
away.
More like a Porsche and a Toyota, but a good Toyota.
Okay, like an Acura.
Sure.
Just go with me.
I drive a Toyota.
So do I.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you drive?
It's an Echo.
Oh, okay.
It's good on gas.
You could put it in the back of my 4Runner.
Oh, one day.
Just for fun. Yes, drop by the website. We have a poll. We do have a contest. We're going to be giving away a sling box. And also enter our poll. What do you think of the new BlackBerry? Love to hear what you think about that. Of course, also at the website, you can listen to our previous shows. If you want to hear last week's show, which is all about BlackBerry, or re-listen to this show, which is all about BlackBerry, you can do it. And if you want to listen next week, we're going to be talking about things other than BlackBerry. On behalf of Art Factora, I am Steve Dotto. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.